dealt with me this morning, and I don't believe he's just talking to me right here. I think he's talking to you as well. Romans 16 and 20, it says, and the God of peace shall bruise Satan. Y'all, everyone has it, because I really want you all to meditate all week on this. It said, and the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. Wow.
Amen.
Wow, that slapped me. That opened up something in me, because in other words, God is saying, I'm gonna settle you down, I'm gonna calm you. And I'm gonna do a number on the enemy. And you're gonna get the glory.
Amen.
Because I'm putting him under your feet. Putting him under your feet. And then he said, shortly. So he said, this ain't gonna take a hold.
Amen.
You know, sometimes we just believe that it's gonna be longevity, but sometimes God say, look here, no. No, enough is enough.
Amen.
So he said, sure. Say shortly.
Shortly.
Then it said, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Amen. It is so. He said, the favor of God be with you.
Yes.
As I do a work for you, the favor of God be with you.
Yes.
That's enough to shout.
Amen.
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 Knowing that God got my back, knowing that God is ready to make a move, God's ready to shift some things. That's what he said. He said, I'm ready to shift some things. And the things that was not for your favor is now going to be for your favor. Things that was not for your good is now going to be for your good. So take that scripture. This is not in my sermon, but this is a word fresh off the press that God wants us to understand that. In other words, God said, I hear your cry. I hear your hurt. I know your pain. I know your suffering. I know your agony. I know how you feel. But God said, I'm ready to put that loser under your feet.
Amen.
Amen. How many know Satan is a loser?
Yes.
Amen. How many know we don't hang out with losers?
Amen.
Hallelujah. You don't hang out with losers. Amen.
Yes.
So the Lord is ready to deal with that loser. Satan, putting them under your feet. But I want to deal with, and I got quite a few scriptures. So keep your Bible open today. I got quite a few scriptures I want to deal with.
Amen.
But I believe that this word today is life changing. I believe this word is going to go very, very deep. I was listening to my pastor, Pastor Dollar, occasionally. He send tapes to us and CDs of what he's ministering on. And he sent me a couple of CDs. And then I was listening to him on TV. And his message messed me up. Now, he's always ministered in my life, and I've always have grown under his tutelage. But I had an aha moment in the word. And I said, that's what's missing. That's that main problem. That's the issue. That's why witchcraft is so prevalent in the church and among Christians. It's because we are too sin conscious and we are not enough God conscious. We're gonna make a big shift today.
Amen.
I'm gonna show you how in the word how we are to reign and rule and be kings on this earth, and because God has put that in us to rule and to reign. So we need to really understand the power that God has embedded and invested in us. See, that ring ain't gonna be in that CD. And I don't want that. I want a good CD, because I want you to be able to get it. So we're gonna make sure you got it. Yeah, that's more in. I just made more in. Okay. Well, yeah, I got a mic on my body, but that's, there we go. Amen. First, let's start with Romans 10, 9 and 10. Romans 10, 9 and 10. It said, thou, that if thou shall confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thy heart that Christ has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. I know we've been over the scripture so many times, but I want you to really see what he said. If you will confess with your mouth the Lordship of Jesus Christ, if you make Jesus your master, if you make him your Lord, then whatever you confess, whatever you speak, you believe it and you'll receive it. So the first thing we have to really understand is I got to start living like Jesus is in charge of me.
Amen.
And I want to use these two words as I go through these scriptures, in him or in Christ. I want us to learn how to live in Christ, to be in Christ, and to die on out, because the Bible teaches us that we are crucified with Christ. So that means what? You're dead. That means you're dead. And so that also means that Christ is where? Living where? In you. And so if Christ is in you, whatever you confess, whatever you speak, whatever you believe, because you're in Christ, then whatever Christ declared, that's what's going to happen. There's another scripture that says our life is what? Hid in Christ, in God. We're hid. I heard somebody talking about hiding. It's good when you're hid in Christ. Hallelujah. So I'm learning, and I've heard this message so many times, but for the last few days, everything that came against me, I said, wait a minute, I'm in Christ. And just by me saying I'm in Christ, a dimension of God rose up. And I got wisdom. I got understanding. I got knowledge. I knew how to handle the situation. I knew how to deal with an argumentative person. I knew how to deal with an angry person because I acknowledged I'm in Christ.
Amen.
God, that makes a big difference right there.
So, amen.
I'm telling you, this message is going to be life-changing for you.
Amen.
Because you've been trying to handle things outside of Christ. In Christ, I'm healed. In Christ, I'm delivered. In Christ, I prosper. In Christ, I win. Look at Acts 17, 28. I'm just getting started, y'all. You're going to walk out of here a king. Yeah, you're going to walk out of here in rulership. Not in defeat. You're not to be a slave. You're supposed to be a master. Acts 17, 28. For in him, say in him.
In him.
He said we live. In him we live and move and have our being. We are also his offspring. He said we live, we move, and have our being. All that we are is him.
Amen.
All we have to do is maintain his presence.
Yeah.
In him, Lord Jesus.
Yeah.
In him I live. My life is about him. That's why he said, if you're going to follow me, deny yourself. Get away from you.
Amen.
Get you out the picture.
Yes.
In him. Say, I'm in him.
I'm in him.
Look at John 15. John 15 and 5. I'm in him. I'm in him. I had a fellow want to fuss me out on the phone yesterday, and I was listening, then I took the phone back. I said, wait a minute, I'm in Christ. Now I got back on fire. I said, brother, it don't matter what you decide.
Amen.
And he calmed down.
Amen.
I'm in him.
Amen.
Hallelujah, I'm in him.
Amen.
And so I had to focus more on his presence than anybody else's presence. The trick of the enemy is want the pastor or the leadership of the church to be worried about who come to church and who don't.
Amen.
What the pastor need to maintain is the presence of God and not the presence of man.
All right, all right,
all right. Hallelujah. I ought to be more concerned about God showing up.
Amen.
Than anybody else showing up. What if God don't show up? Oh, I'm messed up. I'm through. What if God don't show up? No healing take place. No deliverance take place. No word go forth. Nothing of divine nature would take place if God don't show up. Hallelujah. So if anything I want God to show up. Even if the tithes and offering don't show up, I want God to show up. Hallelujah. Even if Pastor A don't function, I want God to show up.
Amen.
In him we live. We move. We have our being. John 15 and 5. John 15 and 5 said, I am the vine. You are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him. And I in him, he that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. So he's saying, look, I'm the vine. You're an extension of me. And so whatever's in the vine is in the branch. And all I want you to do is bear the fruit of me.
Yes.
Lord Jesus. I'm a branch. And yeah, Pastor, but the stuff I do just is not of Jesus. Well, that's, you know, how a fruit comes, the old stuff had to what? It got to be going in the withering and it get out the way so new fruit can come.
Amen.
So that old stuff that you still doing from that old man, don't worry about it. In a minute, it's going to be gone.
Amen.
The way you are thinking in for insecure thoughts and defeated thoughts from the old man, just keep on growing in Christ and them old thoughts and them old ways is going to go. I'm in him. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I'm in him. Look at that seventh verse. He said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall what? Ask what you will and it shall be done. What is the condition? Abiding in me. And my words abiding in you. Hallelujah. And if this condition is met, whatever you ask. See, a lot of folk want this. A lot of Christians want this, but they don't abide in the Word. They don't know the Word. How you gonna learn how to prosper? You don't know the Word. How you gonna learn how to really understand God and you don't know the Word? If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask what you will. Ask what you will. Okay, there's certain things that the word tell us to do. And the key to it is doing the word. Doing what the word says. Huh? There's a word that is always in front of me. Most of the time it's in front of me when I'm dealing with other folk. It says, do all things without mumbling and complaining.
Amen.
I'm like, why the Lord had to slap me with this all the time? You know, give me another word. But in all things. So he said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, if I obey that word, then I can ask whatever I will. Because guess what? If I go ahead and obey it and don't argue and complain and fuss, then whatever God will, whatever God is trying to want to do with me, God will do it.
Amen.
Because I obeyed his word.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And so his word had to become my life. So you got to study the word. You got to meditate on the word. You got to let that word become dwelling you richly. You got to be a walking epistle. You got to get that word in you. You got to maintain that word. You got to keep that word in you, because that's the key to your victory, is doing what the word says. Lord save. If my word about, because he know his word is two-edged sword. He know that his word is going to control your behavior.
Amen.
He knows he gets to that point. And all the Lord is saying is you need to just be all in. You just need to be all in. Don't worry about, for those who want to be part-time Christian, don't worry about those who just use Christianity for their own personal gain. Don't worry about them folks. God is saying, you get you together. Hallelujah. I already see how God is taking this church to her victory, and because this church is not going to be based on the emotions of people, even the knowledge of people, but this church is going to be based on living Christ in their life. I got the relationship. That's what you'll be saying. No, I live in him. He's in me. I'm in Christ. Hallelujah. See, just by saying that puts a spiritual wall around you that, hey, I'm in Christ. I'm in Christ. Doctor say, hey, you got this kind of sickness. Yeah, I hear you, doctor, but I'm in Christ. And in Christ, by his stripes, I'm healed. Hallelujah. So I bind and break every spirit of sickness that have tried to attack this body, because I'm in Christ. Hallelujah. I'm not trying to do it on my own. I'm in Christ. Yes, Lord. Thank you. Look at 2 Corinthians 5:17. I'm in Christ. Y'all get this CD, because you're going to listen to it over and over again. Hallelujah, because the enemy going to always try to challenge you and always try to control your thinking, always trying to manipulate you. So you got to constantly be able to reassure yourself who you are. Think, Pat, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Pastor Dollar said the biggest strategy is that Christians don't really know who they really are. That's the biggest problem, man. And Satan's job is to distract you from who you really are.
Amen.
That's why he said to Jesus on that mountain, if you are the Son of God, cast yourself down. And because the angels, he misquoted the scripture about the angels. But Jesus had to let him know, you don't tempt the Lord thy God. In other words, I know who I am. And so he said, he said, he said, Jesus evidently was saying, don't let this body fool you.
Amen.
You've got to be able to let the enemy know, don't let this body fool you. You don't know who's in me.
Amen.
that's what Paul had to deal with the Corinthians, and he said, you're acting as mere men. He said, no, that's more to you than this.
Amen.
What I'm saying, that's more to us than what the average religious leader would tell you. Folk don't want to know. Satan don't want you to know that you're in Christ. Look at that 17th verse. Therefore, if any man be where?
In Christ.
Where?
In Christ.
Hallelujah. That means, first of all, you saved. You've given your life over to the Lord. Yeah. He said, if any man be in Christ, he is a what?
New creature.
New creature, or a new creation, or another translation, a new kind of species. So you're something, you're something, there's no other example on this earth.
Amen.
The person that's in Christ, you're another kind of species. You're a new creation, as some Bible translations say. Old things are what?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Old things are passed away. The way I used to think, I don't think like that no more. The things I used to like, I don't like no more. All things are passed away. How the enemy used to influence me, he can't influence me like that no more. The old is gone and the new have come. He said, all things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So that's a new, that's a newness about you. The more revelation you get of who Jesus is, the more newness about you. Then the more victories you have and the less defeats you have, because you're yet growing. Old things are yet what? Being passed away. Old things are passed away. That's why Paul said, forget that past.
Yes, yes, yes.
Reach for that future. Press towards the mark of the prize of the heart, high calling in Christ Jesus. And all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. So not only is my relationship with God is getting stronger, but God is now using me to get everybody else's relationship together.
Amen.
Say, I'm in Christ.
Amen.
Say it again.
I'm in Christ.
Say it like you believe it.
I'm in Christ.
All things are of God, who has reconciled us to where? Himself.
Yes.
By Jesus Christ, and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors. For who? We are ambassadors for Christ. That means I now represent Jesus.
Amen.
As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ there, be ye reconciled to God. Look at that 21st verse. For he has made him to be sin for us. Now Christ never sinned. Christ became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And this is the key, because this is where the enemy or religious folk keep you in bondage. They're always pointing at your sin, but they never really explain that you have been made the righteousness of God, meaning God has declared you righteous, and you don't have to walk around with guilt.
Amen, amen.
Because every sin you have committed, Jesus took it all when he hung there on the cross.
Amen.
All those lies you told, all the stealing and all the cheating, adultery and fornication, all of that, Jesus became sin for you, that you may be made the righteousness of God. Say, I am the righteousness of God.
I am the righteousness of God.
And that's not tomorrow, that's right now. And it's not what you've done. Oh, that's what I love about it. It's not about your reactions. It's what he did. For God so loved the world, he what? Gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever what? Believe in him shall not what? Perish, but have everlasting life. Your focus is to believe that Jesus is real.
Amen.
And then your focus is now make him Lord of your life. And as he becomes Lord of your life, then the grace of God, the favor of God becomes part of your life, and you will not continue in sin.
Amen.
Thinking that the favor and the grace of God shall abide.
Amen.
No, the more you're in God, the more the word of God is in you, the more you will stop sinning.
Amen.
Sin now do not have dominion over you.
Amen.
Come on, talk to me, somebody.
Amen.
Folk that is keep sinning, they're not in Christ.
Amen.
Because you cannot be in Christ and keep practicing sin. But we got to move away from that sin conscience because, you know, we look at, oh, look what I did. I just cussed again. Oh, look what I did yesterday. I'm not right. No, you have to say, I am the righteousness of God.
Amen.
And I bind and I break every spirit that leads me to miss the mark in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. In Christ. Say in Christ.
Amen.
We're going to get this in you today. You're going to walk out of here in Christ. You're going to walk out of here understanding who you really are. Understanding the very nature of God is the very nature that's in you. Look at Galatians 2 and 20. Hallelujah. Understand really who you are. Don't let the devil fool you no longer. I'm tired of him messing folk up. Come on now, I'm tired of him. You know, he messed me up long enough. I'm glad I got to, I know who I am now.
Thank you, Lord.
Galatians 2 and 20. And what's good about it, it's the scripture that said it, not C.L. Glass. Galatians 2:20, I am what? I am crucified with Christ. So when Christ died on that cross on 1,400 years ago, guess who else died? You died. Okay. All right. It's just hot in here. So you died when Christ died. So we're moving up to the resurrection day when we celebrate his death, burial, resurrection. But you also, on that day, you ought to be celebrating your death, burial, and resurrection as well. Because you died with Christ. Then he said, nevertheless, I live. Now, this is a powerful scripture. You're dead, but you're alive.
Amen.
Nevertheless, I live. Then he said, yet not I. That's even deeper.
Amen.
Okay. Logically, I can't figure this out. I'm crucified, I'm dead, but I'm alive, but it ain't me.
Amen.
Come on now, listen. Pastor Sykes already said that I've been in school all my life. And all them degrees I got, I still can't figure this out outside of God.
Amen.
How in the world can I be dead, but alive, but it's not me that's alive? He said, but Christ does what? Liveth where?
In you.
He said, but Christ is alive. He's not dead. Christ is alive in me.
Yes. Yes.
Now Christ, the word Christ is Christos, and that word means the anointed one and his anointing.
Yes.
So I'm the anointed one and his anointing is in me. It lives in me. An anointed one said that nobody takes my life. I have the power to lay it down. And I have the power to pick it up again. And so he's saying that the anointed one and his anointing abides in you, and so whatever his ability is, it's your ability. Lord Jesus, all you are is a vessel that he wants to use. And you ought to just free him up so he can do what he want to do with you. So when you walk into a place, you don't walk in just you. When you walk in, the anointed one and his anointing walk in with you. Now y'all ain't listening to me here. Hallelujah. There's a different perspective here. Okay, I'm not just going to solve this myself, but I got some help. And this help created the whole universe. Hallelujah. Christ liveth in me. Say it. Christ liveth in me. Say it again. Christ liveth in me. Y'all look like y'all scared to even say it. Hallelujah. So let me mess you up just a little further since I'm there. Say with me, I'm Christ.
I'm Christ.
I'm anointed by God. That makes me Christ. Christ liveth in me. So what people need to see now, because you got to be, your life is what? Hid. So if your life is hid, folk don't supposed to see any. Folk supposed to see who? Christ. So Eddie walks in, what's up, what's up? All right. But he ought to walk in. Christ has showed up. Now y'all not listen to me. I'm not saying he's Jesus. That one son of God, that's one begotten of the Father, but Christ liveth, that son of God, it liveth in me. And the life which I now live, right now, today, the life that I now live in the flesh or in this body, I live by the what? Faith of the Son of God. My faith in Jesus makes me do what I do, so that's why I got to always acknowledge I'm in him. I gotta always say, I'm in him. Wait a minute. I'm in him. When you're in conversation, I'm in him. When you're on your job, I'm in him. When you're in your community, whatever you do, I'm in him. Because in him, I win. Outside of him, I lose. Whew. Hallelujah. The faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. He loved me. So how many know the Lord loves you? Amen. He loved you and he gave himself. He sacrificed for you. Because he loved you, he's not going to take you through dirt, danger and harm. And he's not going to put you in a compromising situation. He'll lead you through the path of righteousness.
Amen.
He loved me. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 4. 16. Is the Lord helping anybody?
Amen.
2 Corinthians 4, 16. Oh, I want to shout, but I know I can't shout right now. I got to get this in you. But boy, I feel like shouting because I know that all of those challenges that I've had in the past, I don't have them because I'm in him. Hallelujah. All of those burdens I was bearing in the past, I don't bear them burdens anymore because I'm in him. He even said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. He said, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. He said, you come to me. 2 Corinthians 4, 16. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, Yet the inward man is renewed day by day. What I'm trying to say is the Christ in you going to keep getting stronger and stronger. Keep getting powerful. And even when this body dissolves itself, it's gone. But the Christ in you lives on. Oh, thank you, Lord. So no way will the Christ in me get weaker. As long as I'm in him and his word is in me, he's going to keep getting stronger. That spirit man going to keep getting stronger. You ought to be like that song that said, I'm hungry for him. I thirst for him. You know, you ought to stay hungry for the revelation of Jesus Christ in your life. You ought to want it. You ought to pursue it. You ought to make that the number one issue. I need to know what it means to live in him. I need to know what it means, because if I'm in him and sickness or cancer shows up, cancer got to go. Y'all see how powerful this thing is? Whatever demonic force come your way because you're in him.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Them sons of Sheba got the clothes whipped off of them because they wasn't in Christ.
All right.
And the demons knew it. Huh? Paul we know, Peter we know, Jesus we know. We don't see the blood of Jesus on you. And them demons whipped out of them. I whipped them out of their clothes. But they called themselves preachers. And I'm bold enough to say that God is stripping folk and exposing folk because they've been acting like they've been in Christ. They've been acting like they've been right before God. But I tell you, who you are is going to follow whatever reputation you are. Jesus said, let me put it this way. Jesus said a tree is known by what it produce, the fruit it bears. Jesus said, look, look, I'm the vine, you're the branches. Then you got to be producing my fruit. If you're not producing my fruit, you're not my tree. You're not connected to me. And every branch that don't produce, my Father takes it away. But every branch that's producing, he purges it so it can produce more. So my job is to make sure that there's a whole lot of Jesus is out there. A whole lot of Christ out there. Amen. Then as I'm faithful over the fruit that's here, then he'll make me ruler over many.
Amen.
That's how he grow his church. Amen. Gimmicks is not going to grow the church. It may swell it up, but it's not going to grow it. Huh? Manipulating folk to get in to pray and all that, that's not going to grow the church.
Amen.
How the church really grows, folk get in Jesus.
Yes.
And when folk get in Jesus, Jesus like coming to church, so Jesus will come to church.
Amen.
Amen. Jesus supports the ministry, so Jesus will support the ministry.
Yes.
Come on, talk to me, somebody. I'm so glad I'm not in no kind of competition to try to outgrow somebody or outbe something I don't need no titles. I don't need no robes. I don't need none of that. I don't need no crosses. All I need is Christ in me, the hope of glory. That's all you need. That's all you need. Don't let all that outer, see, man judges the outer appearance. God judges the heart. Hallelujah. And I can have a collar on, I can have a robe on, I can have crosses, and I can have all what it says that, he's bishop.
Yeah.
And still, God don't even know me. I mean, Christ, this message have stirred me up. This word have stirred me up because it changed me. Hallelujah. I'm not saying a year ago, 2 years ago. I'm talking about 2 days ago. I done preached about this before. But the other night, I got an aha moment in the Word. And I said, Lord, I've been trying to get people to stop sinning, and I've been pointing them at their sins, and I've been telling them all that, but I haven't told them they are the righteousness of God. I haven't told them that Jesus have already solved their sin problem. I haven't told them that they can lay hands on the sick and they can heal folk because they're in Christ. I haven't told them that they have authority because they're in Christ. But I'm telling you today, you're in Christ. Hallelujah. If you're giving your life over to the Lord, you're in Christ. So start living like you're in Christ. Reckon yourself dead to sin and alive unto God.
Christ, yes.
There's nothing wrong with being in Christ. That seventh verse in that fourth chapter says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We have this treasure. There's something in us in earthen vessels, that the excellency of God's power. And then he goes on to say, I want you to really look at this. He said, we are troubled on every side. Now he just talked about how the power of God, and he's this vessel that the power of God is resting, but yet we're troubled on every side. Yet not distressed. And I love that. He said, although we got the trouble, we're not defeated. We are perplexed, but not in despair.
Amen.
Persecuted,
yes,
but not forsaken.
Yes.
Cast down, but not destroyed. Lord Jesus. In other words, I can't be defeated. If I'm in Christ, I cannot be defeated. And one of those verses, I don't see it right away, but one of those verses said he take pleasures in his infirmities, that the power of God may rest on him. Hallelujah. I'm in Christ. I'm in Christ. Look at Ephesians 2 and 10. I'm going to do about three more of these scriptures. I'm not even going to be able to get through all of them. But I think God has said enough to help you change the way you think. And when you change the way you think, you change the way you act. When you change the way you act, you change the way you live. That's God's ultimate goal for you, is to live differently. How many know their lifestyle needs to change?
Amen.
Praise God. That's why you're in church. That's what church is all about. You're supposed to walk out of here changed. You some supposed to stir you up enough to say, look, I got to stop doing what I'm doing. I there is a better way. Hallelujah. That scripture said there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is death. So you don't want to end up separated from God. You want to make sure that you're connected and locked into this thing called in Christ, this relationship with God. Hallelujah. And that relationship, this relationship with God is more important than my relationship with my wife.
Amen.
Amen. I love my wife. She's pretty, boy. I tell you, I sometimes I just sit and look at the ceiling. I'm just so applauded by the beauty of my Nina. Amen. I tell you. Amen. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm supposed to be. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes. I don't get mad when folks say, boy, you got a pretty wife. I don't get mad. I say, I know. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And much of that relationship, how good that relationship is still not that important than God, my relationship with God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now, I don't try to compete the two. No, God is here.
Amen.
Hallelujah. He said he's at the highest level of my existence. This is where God is in my life. He's uno number one.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Ephesians 2 and 10, for we are his what?
Workmanship.
Created where? In Christ. See, we're a new creation. We're recreated. We're in Christ. We're created in Christ unto what? Good works, which God has before ordained that we should what? Walk in them. He said, look, we're in God's workmanship. You know, the Old Testament prophet said, go to the potter's house. And watch how that potter takes that clay, that ball of clay, and put it on that wheel and begin to mold and shape his image. And so God is molding and shaping you into the image of Jesus Christ. Come on, talk to me, somebody. Hallelujah. You, it's not about you. You may not like what God is doing, but he's the one that's doing the work, and he's not going to stop until his job is complete. Come on, talk to me, somebody. Hallelujah. You're in Christ, and so he's molding you. That's God's workmanship. And so you're created in Christ Jesus unto good works. You wonder, why do I love people like I love them? Why do I put up with folks? Why do I care for people? Because it's not you. It's the Christ in you doing the good work in you. I had a fella tell me and say, all black men are angry. And I'm like, you don't see no anger coming out of me. No, all of us are not angry. Amen. And the ones that are angry, even if it's justifiable, they have to learn how to get in Christ. God will take away that anger and he'll replace it with love and joy and peace. God Almighty, this is good. Romans 8 and 1, I want to show you something else. Because if you're really saved, you're going to heaven. All right, if you really saved, you're not going to end up in that lake with burning, with fire and brimstone. How many know that they need to hear that?
Amen.
How many sometimes question their salvation?
Yes, Lord.
Well, I'm going to show you where you'll never have to question it again. Romans 8 and 1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Now, the oldest of the manuscripts stopped there. The newer manuscripts add on, who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. But the principle is that there is now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, period. It's not about your walk. It's about your belief. The rest of the Bible backs me up on that. You believe God. Like Abraham believed God and it accounted unto him as righteousness. You believe God. Hallelujah. Now I think it even goes down in there where it deals with this in the 8th chapter. But you got to understand, right now, there's no condemnation. So if there's no condemnation, because you're in Christ, then I shouldn't be beating you up about your sin.
Amen. Amen.
I should be teaching you how to live the righteous life.
Amen.
But what do? We constantly beat you up. Well, you shouldn't have done that. Well, you shouldn't have done that. Well, there's no condemnation. I'm in Christ. There's no condemnation. Look at Romans 6 and 1. Hallelujah. Thank God for all. See what Pastor Sykes didn't tell you is almost all of my schooling has been studying the Bible.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. That's why it's hard for me to get out of school, because I love studying the Word of God.
Amen.
And I found out some things. The more I study, the more revelation God gives us. 61. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? that grace may abound. God forbid, or absolutely not. No way. The favor of God, the grace of God is not going to abound if you are continually in sin. The word of God will keep you from sin. Sin will keep you from the word of God. Say, in other words, if I'm in this word every day, it's going to help me not to sin. But if I'm not in this word every day, I will be influenced and enticed to sin.
For those folks can say, well, I don't need this Bible. I don't need to pick up no. I don't need to read no scripture every day. Well, do you sin every day?
Come on.
Yeah, even in your thoughts. Sin means you missed the mark. Amen. And so that means that whatever the word says, you do it. But if you're doing something that the word says not to do, that's sin. And those that know it to do good and do it not, to him it is a sin. So you got to know what to do, Lord Jesus. And you got to do it. And as you do it, the favor of God is on your life. And it keeps abounding and increasing. And all of us want the favor to increase, am I right? Well, you got to stay in him and his word in you. And you see how the favor continually go. And that's how sin is now broken in your life. And that's how you get the authority and the dominion over sin, because you stand in that word. Amen. And the word is the word will it's like a mirror where you can see yourself. That's why a lot of folks don't pick up the scripture. Because the scripture, if you're in adultery, the scripture will say, thou shalt not commit adultery. If you're fornication, the scripture say, thou shalt not flee fornication. That was the scripture say. If you're a thief, he said, don't steal no more. If you're a murderer, he said, don't kill folk.
Amen.
Come on, talk to me. So it works hand in hand. You become that living epistle. Look at Galatians 4:19. I got two more and I'm done. Did I say that already? Galatians. We're gonna close out the book of Hebrews and get more into the Psalms, but we're gonna tie all this up together. That the real deal is we need to be in him. And his word need to be in us.
Amen.
I mean, no, you start to cuss, and the Spirit of God say, "Wait a minute, you're in Christ."
Amen.
I mean, no, you're gonna shut up.
Amen.
Oh yeah, that's simple. That's just how God deals with it. This has been a blessed 2 days for me. Because there's been a whole lot of things I wanted to say in these last 2 days. I wanted to think in these last 2 days. But the Holy Spirit kept telling me, you're in Christ. I'm like, whoa. You're in Christ. You're in Christ. And that same pressure and impartation that God done put on me, I'm putting it on you right now. Hallelujah. So you're gonna try to get mad, then the Spirit of God gonna say, what? You're in Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. We going up together. What did I say? Galatians what? 4:19? Is that no. Oh, Galatians 4:19. Hallelujah. You get ready to cuss your husband out. I'm in Christ. You get ready to fuss your wife out. I'm in Christ. I can't do it no more. I'm in Christ. It don't work no more. I'm in Christ.
Amen.
See, that's that God consciousness that we've been missing.
Look at
Galatians 4:19. It says, "My little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you." Paul says, like a birth, getting Christ in you is like having a baby. He said, "I travail, and I don't know how labor pains operate. I can't say I have experienced labor pains, but I've been around folk with the labor pains, and that was enough for me to know I don't want labor pains." So Paul is saying to get Christ in folk, he said, "I travail in birth again," and so he said that's a continuous born again experience. You're not just born again one time, but then you're born again again, and then born again again. And so what I'm telling you is that you're moving from the adolescent to the adult stage right now in the spirit. So Christ can be formed in you. How many of y'all just kind of feel growth right now? Christ, the anointed one, and his anointing is being formed in you. God, it's being formed in you right now. That anointing one, that presence of God, that person of Jesus Christ, the fullness of God is being birthed in you and formed in you. And so true leadership said, "All I want is Christ to be formed in you. I don't want your money. I want Christ to be formed in you. I don't want to overpower you and control you. I just want Christ to be formed in you."
I don't know if you're ever going to hear another sermon like this, but that's all I want from you.
That's my whole desire. That's why I stay up sometimes at night. That's why we pray constantly for you. Not that you be blessed with a house, a car, and all that kind of stuff. All we want is Christ to be formed in you. All we want is you to be able to experience that anointing, that power of God that rests on his children.
So we travail. We labor with you. We put up with you. We endure with you. Because we know once we start seeing Christ growing, I mean, know that makes us happy.
Amen.
Once you start moving in the things of God, that makes me happy. I may want Deacon Hubbard to read the scripture and do somersaults. But that may be what I want from him. But what God wants is for his son to be formed completely in him. So that the mind of Christ is his mind. So that means he think like Christ, and he respond like Christ, and he act like Christ.
He is Christ because Christ lives in him. I think we're getting somewhere. Hallelujah. I just believe God is doing some awesome things. Let me do that next scripture. 1 Corinthians 1:30. Lord, help me to help us. Thank you for your word today.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you for this word. 1 Corinthians, the first chapter and the 30th verse. And